expected to hear from Ivor Noren.
The international labor movement is also mourning a great leader. IMF, the International Metal Workers Federation, is a section of that movement, including over 10 million trade union members around the world. It is on their behalf, and together with some other IMF representatives, I have come here to pay tribute to Walter Ruther and what he stood for, and to say a last goodbye. Walter was a builder in the field of human values. He led the building of one of the finest and most powerful democratic trade unions in the whole world. His effective and well-prepared collective bargaining leadership laid the basis for striking progress and gains in wages and working conditions for the UAW members. And this in its turn paved the way for similar progress for organized labor in other industries, both outside and inside the United States. In addition, as the IMF President Otto Brenner of the German Metal Workers Union has emphasized in a message of condolence to the UAW, Walter Ruther clearly realized that in modern society, the trade unions must take a stand, both nationally and internationally, on the great problems of social policy of our times, and throw all their power in support of a democratic transformation of society. Walter made great contributions to the building in this country a society with more social justice, equal civil rights, and better income security, and in particular with full recognition of the needs of those people left behind in a course of general progress. As to his role in the international labor movement, he was one of the founders of the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, and he brought the UAW into the IMF as one of its first American affiliates. He was the president of the automotive department of the IMF, and he always wholeheartedly gave his support to the various IMF programs of international solidarity, not the least those designed to help the workers in developing countries to build trade unions through which they can themselves improve their own situation. He shared our belief that organized labor has an important role to play in our efforts to build a better world for all people, a world of brotherhood and peace. Our struggle for this goes on, and Walter's imaginative and dynamic idealism will in this struggle continue to be a source of inspiration to auto workers, to other metal workers, and to all trade unionists throughout the world. Some of us coming from abroad had the privilege to meet with Walter and May, his life companion, many times and under such circumstances that there existed between us bonds of permanent friendship. We shall remember Walter and May as fine, warm personalities. And though I cannot explain exactly why, I know that this friendship made our lives richer.
That was Ivor Noren, General Secretary, International Metal Workers Federation. The last eulogy scheduled to be delivered will be made by Irving Bluestone, Walter Reuther's administrative assistant, the man who spoke for the union's official position on Sunday, May the 10th, when it was finally realized that the Reuthers had been killed.
In this indescribably painful hour, I am deeply honored to have been selected in behalf of the UAW, its officers, its members, to speak this last farewell to May and Walter. Side by side, hand clasped in hand, Walter and May each found fulfillment in the other, and their love flowered in an indivisible unity. They lived and loved together, not for self alone, not for family alone, but that others might also live and love and share the happiness of a good life. May was always Walter's beautiful and gracious lady, his beloved companion in shared interests, aspirations, and ideals. Walter was always May's beloved champion of a new and better tomorrow for people whose today is only the faint shadow of a cherished dream. Their identities fused into a wholeness, a completeness that neither possessed alone. For they dreamed together, planned together, acted together to help make a more perfect world. The perfection of their union fashioned the lives of their daughters, Linda and Lisa, who reflect the tenderness and compassion of the parents. For Linda and Lisa have a fervent belief, too, in the future. They hope and dream. They extend their compassion to every living thing. And like the petals of lovely flowers opening slowly to the sun's greeting, they reach for life, for love, for sweet justice, for peace, for people. Walter's life knew two worlds that fused one with the other, his family and the UAW. In these he found his way of life. To these he gave all his talents, his energies, and finally his life. The taproot of his idealism, his love for his fellow man, his warmth and generosity sprang from his home, his father, his mother, whom he always called Mütterchen, his older brother Ted and his sister Chris, and of course, his two younger brothers and co-workers in labor's cause, Roy and Victor. Walter never believed that the end purpose of the labor movement was more. Rather, he saw the labor movement as an instrument for social justice, for human progress, for the perfection of the democratic heritage, a means by which workers and their families not only advance their own welfare, but by which, in cooperation with men and women in all walks of life and throughout the world, they make their contribution to improving the quality of the whole society. His aim and purpose were economic and social justice. But to him, the ideals of social justice, economic security, peace and freedom, human dignity and human brotherhood were not matters merely for philosophic discourse, but practical goals to be achieved, dreams to be made real. He dared to dream, yet he was no mere dreamer, but a man of action. He had unlimited faith in the ability of free men in a free society to build a brave new world. But he knew that a better future for mankind has to be made. It won't just happen. For him, there was no unattainable goal, no quest whose goal was out of reach. He was a leader of men who could reminisce about the future, even as he brought the future nearer. Countless millions walk with the dignity of free men, because Walter, together with his team of UAW colleagues, have touched their lives. Walter's deeds mark him a giant among men, but above all, he was of and for the people, not alone the deprived, the oppressed, the discriminated against, but all the people. Because he was of them, they always called him Walter, never Mr. Reuther. Because he was of them, they loved him, and that is his greatest glory. An infant lies crying with hunger. Walter sought to feed him and give him the strength to live. A child is deprived of his right to learn to the full extent of his capability. Walter fought to provide the schooling to make him a whole man. An anguished man seeks vainly to provide for his family in a society that has forgotten its aim is fulfillment of the needs of people. Walter worked to make real the right of every man willing and able to work to have the opportunity for a decent job at a decent wage. A man lies ill and incapacitated. Walter's voice rang out to make him sound and provide for his well-being as a matter of right, with dignity and self-respect. A man suffers the sting of bigotry and hatred. Walter was in the vanguard of the struggle to win for him equal opportunity and a secure, respected place in society. A man grows old and tired at the end of his labors. Walter was there to lead the way to security and dignity and comfortable retirement. Society desecrates its living environment, drenching it in its own wastes, fouling the sweet air, poisoning the clear water, spawning its slums and ghettos. Walter was there to help restore the natural beauty and wonder of Earth and to build a human environment worthy of free men. Others spew forth hatred in the violence of war and the escalation of armaments. Walter joined with those who would point the way to peace in brotherhood and in the common humanity of man. Where shall we find such men who can lead us as did Walter, with boundless energy to a new and brighter day, who can dream for humanity and realize their dreams, who can aspire for people and fulfill their aspirations? We shall find them among the countless men and women of goodwill and deep commitment who live and hope and work in all corners of the earth, whose voices will respond exultantly to the challenges of a new day, whose actions are guided by a vision of love, peace, brotherhood, and justice. Walter had faith that these voices will prevail. He never wavered, never faltered in this faith. Nor can we waver, nor must we falter, if we are to be true to his memory. Walter was our friend, our colleague, a generous human being. He was our mentor, our leader, an architect of ideas, a master builder, but always in teamwork and cooperation with his colleagues and co-workers. He was our warm personal friend, and above all, our beloved brother. Walter and May have not died. They live on in the hearts and minds of those of us who, like them, look not to yesterday, but to the bright tomorrow.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. And standing there as big as life, and smiling with his eyes, Joe says what they forgot to kill went on to organize, went on to organize. Joe Hill ain't dead, he says to me. Joe Hill ain't never died. Where working men are out on strike, Joe Hill is at their side. Joe Hill is at their side. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where workers strike and organize, it's there you'll find Joe Hill. It's there you'll find Joe Hill. I dream I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he.
The Ballad of Joe Hill, sung by Henry Ginn, Vice President of Local 212 UAW. The Ballad of Joe Hill was one of Walter Reuther's favorite labor songs. Joe Hill was a Swedish labor leader who was shot to death in 1915. While 3,000 persons were inside for the services, another 500 stood outside listening to the eulogies on loudspeakers. Among those inside were former Vice President Hubert Humphrey, Senators Edward Kennedy and Ed Muskie, Labor Secretary George Shultz, Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Goldberg, George Romney, G-Men and Williams, and many others. The service is over. The two closed caskets will remain on stage until after all of the people have left. Then they'll be removed by Verheiden Funeral Home for cremation sometime today or possibly tonight, probably at Woodlawn Cemetery. There's no official word on the disposition of the ashes, but it's known that Walter Reuther had indicated he would like his taken to the Union's Family Education Center at Black Lake, where he and May were headed on May 9th when their plane crashed. The people are leaving now after paying final tribute to the late Walter P. and May Reuther. The final tribute, however, will be the renaming of the Reuther's favorite retreat at Black Lake in his honor. He said at Atlantic City last month that he didn't want it named after him until he was no longer president of the UAW. That moment is now. This is Joe Weaver at Ford Auditorium.